Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven, stay driven.
I think that's enough of that. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Shuffling with McNutty and the Hammer. My name is Sean. I am indeed McNutty. It's a long story about the name. And sitting to my right here next to me is the Hammer, Johnny Hordeman. What do you say, Hammer?
Hey.
So anyhow, we got a new show. It's a show about shuffleboard. We're going to take it and talk about it on the national level. It's a game we all love. It's a game we all hate, depending on how you shot in your last game. And we are broadcasting live from the Ivy Inn in, I can't hear you when you talk and I have headphones on, what? I believe so. If he can hear it, then it's probably good.
Yeah, we're on.
Yeah, I think we're on. So anyway, broadcasting live from the Ivy Inn, Havertown, Pennsylvania, Brookline Boulevard, 19083. That's ivyinn.org. Check it out, ivyinn.org, and it is the premier shuffleboard palace on the entire East Coast. So what's new with you, Hammer? How was we shot in a tournament here, what, last weekend? 2 weekends ago.
Yes, sir.
2 weekends ago. And I don't think it worked out very well for either of us.
No, it did not.
But the IVN High Life Classic 2 weeks ago here, 32 teams shooting on 4 boards.
Yeah.
Add to 2, add to 5. The add to 2s. Who were the finals?
The add to 2s, I believe, J.J. Price.
That was the add to 5?
That was the add to 5, yeah. Yep. He took first with Ed Smith shooting out of Pottstown, Pennsylvania. And then the add to 2 was Billy Pollock Jr. and Steve Connor.
Yeah, they double-dipped Havy and DeRiso.
Yeah.
It's not often you double-dip Havy, that's for sure.
That was like the Super Bowl.
Yep. Hey, speaking of the Super Bowl, it's not shuffleboard-related, but we're out of Philly. We got to say dilly-dilly, or Philly-Philly, to our Philadelphia Eagles. God bless their hearts. I know there's a guy that's going to be calling in about 6:30. Who is not too happy with us with the Philadelphia Eagles?
That is correct.
Or with our championship, it is what it is. I see the director is here; he'll be on the mic very, very shortly. But So tonight, talking, we got at 6:15, we got Mike Taylor, and if you play shuffleboard, you know who Mike Taylor is.
Hell of a shooter.
Yeah. So he's going to talk to us about some stuff. Coming up around 6:30, we got a fellow from Arizona. handsome fella, stylish clothing.
Yeah, he's the one that's angry.
Yep, Dwayne Maxwell.
Yep.
He's going to come on and talk to us. He's got a tournament coming up, a pretty big one. It's coming up next weekend, the weekend after that. So next weekend.
Down in Arizona.
Yep, President's Day weekend. He's got a tournament. I believe they redid the bar, the venue. So excited.
He's dedicating it to Tony Appel,
yep.
A recent shooter who passed, unfortunately.
Yep. And then we have John McDermott from Shuffleboard Federation. He's going to close out the show with us, 6:45. He's calling in from, Michigan, right?
Yep.
Is that in Michigan?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
So, unfortunately, we do have one thing to get out of the way early. And if you haven't heard, Rita Yankowskis has passed away. She passed away February 3rd. She was 70. She was surrounded by her family.
Longtime shooter.
Yeah, longtime shooter. Member of the Pennsylvania Hall of Fame.
Her picture's up on the wall to our left here.
Yeah, I know. I was lucky. I felt lucky the one time, one of the games, I don't know, I played her 5, 6, 7 times, and she actually let me score a point. But that was just to give her partner Hammer.
Yeah.
There's a button on top there, Director.
Yeah.
So when you get there. The third man on our panel, the director, Chris Treadway, he actually is getting settled. He got caught in traffic. And there's that.
Yeah.
But yeah, back to Rita. I'm reading this off of her obituary. Rita was an avid shuffleboard shooter, was one of the original lady legends of shuffleboard. She worked hard to advance women in the sport. Her many accomplishments included being ranked number one. Being ranked number four in the country and being a member of the Women's Professional Shuffleboard Association. In 2010, she was introduced into the Pennsylvania State Shuffleboard Hall of Fame. She spent many happy years playing and passing her love of the sport on to the next generation. Her services are coming up. They are Sunday, February 11th at 1:30 p.m. at the Stretch Funeral Home in Havertown. Following with an 8 p.m. intermittent service that's private and just for the family. I believe if you look up, if you want to send your thoughts from all across the country, I know Yank Jr. and his wife, wife, I guess, April.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have two kids.
Yeah.
Pretty much she's as close to a wife.
Yeah, if not, they're engaged.
If not, you know, but yeah, we're poking a little fun at Yank. You know, I'm sure that the family would love to hear from you at Stretch Funeral Home. If you Google Stretch Funeral Home in Havertown, Pennsylvania, it'll take you to the obituary, and she'll be you can leave your thoughts and your condolences with them. So with that, hello, Director.
How you guys doing?
We're doing well, buddy. A little traffic today?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
It was terrific.
Well, you know, going to be even worse when we have that parade on Thursday.
That'll be good traffic, though.
Yeah,
that'll
I got news for you. There's no fucking way I'm going anywhere near that. It's the internet. We can say that. Don't look at me that crazy.
That
yeah, you just got about 3 shades away. Yeah.
It's the internet. We can say what we want here, but there is no way I'm going to sit right on a bar stool at the Ivy Inn and be a part of that parade from every angle.
Yeah, you still be a part of it here, though.
I'm telling you. So, Treads, we were talking about the tournament from a week and a half ago, and your website was carrying all the brackets.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the director.com real quick, right?
Yeah. So I mean, we got the shuffledirector.com. We've been using it here at the Ivy for probably about the last 6 months now to help run our tournaments. Allows us a pretty easy way to get it up online, show people on Facebook, keep people interested.
Yeah.
Might be a way to kind of take the game a little bit further into the 21st century, you know?
Yeah, you don't get all those questions. Who's winning? Who's left in the bracket?
Yeah,
you
and
got to look at a bracket.
Anybody that's been the one guy at a tournament that's away from everybody who keeps getting Facebook messages, what's going on in this tournament? Yeah. Where are they at? What's going on? kind of the reason to do this is to kind of stop that. Let that guy just hit two buttons, and then, hey, everybody can see what's going on.
Yeah.
Or my favorite, can you take a picture of the brackets and send it to us so that we know?
Yeah, which can anyone ever read most of those? I mean, yeah.
Not with the retards we got writing on these fucking boards. You can't.
Hey, I'm one of those ones that writes on those boards.
And did you notice how the writing gets just a little more illegible as the day goes on?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it goes to initials and scribbles after about three rounds. So.
Well, it's three rounds or three perpetuals.
Yeah, well, always.
So, anyway, so yeah, that's what we got going on here. We hope you guys are interested. You can give us a call at 718-508-9883. At 718-508-9883, you can talk to McNutty. You can talk to the Hammer. You can talk to the director. Or you can talk to somebody.
Yeah. Right? New shooter, old shooter, want to learn
there you go.
About the game, give us a holler.
So we're going to do this is something that I've been joking about. I've actually been breaking Shuffleboard Santa Claus's balls, you know, about the segment that we're going to have coming up. And once a week, we're going to have a how do you know when a Pollock walks into the bar? Well, when a Pollock walks into the bar, you get the jukebox. McNutty and the Hammer and the director will be back in just a couple minutes with Mike Taylor. Coming to you live from the Ivy Inn. We'll see you soon. Train.
Oh, yeah.
Ruben Benz. So when a pilot walks into the room, you just got to. We take some fun. We're having some fun here. We're going to rip out two quick calls for you, and then we're going to Mike Taylor, who I see has called in. He's going to come on with McNutty, the Hammer, and the Director. So let's see. 415, that's California. You're on live with McNutty and the Hammer. Who are we talking to?
Hey, what's up, guys? This is James O'Brien. How are you?
Hey, Mr. O'Brien, how you doing, pal? Where are you calling us from?
Sir James.
I'm calling you from, actually, Vancouver, Washington.
From where? Oh, wow. Well, then Google sucks, because when I saw 415, I said, it's
no,
got to be.
It's a cell phone. That's where it's from originally. The number's from there, but I actually live in Vancouver now.
Aren't you guys like, isn't that illegal to take a cell phone across state lines or something like that?
I don't think they allow that.
I know it's bad. Don't tell anyone. Hey, how does it feel that the ocean's on the wrong side of the highway? Because for us.
You know, I've never known any different, so.
All right.
But anyway,
what can we do for you, Mr. O'Brien?
I wanted to find out from you guys. Could you guys talk to all three of these guys you got coming on today are fantastic laggers. And I'd be curious to find out what each of their different techniques for measuring a lag is. So if you could find that out for me, I would I'd really appreciate it.
Well, we'll certainly bring that up. I know they're I know John's listening. You never know with Dwayne. You never know where he's at or what he's up to. But he may be listening right now. Yeah. And I got Mike on hold on the other line. We're going to jump to him. But Mr. O'Brien, please check back in with us. And feel free. You're part of the family now, brother. All right?
Yeah. We want to talk about your shuffleboard stuff with the redoing the boards and everything.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Oh, he does.
I'd be happy to be a guest anytime.
You know what? Hit me up on the Facebook page and let's get you set up. How about a quick plug for the for your shuffleboard stuff?
Yeah, so out of this area, if you're in the Portland or Washington area and you need a shuffleboard table refinish, you can find me on Facebook, O'Brien Shuffleboards, and I'd be happy to take a look at your board and get it playing right.
You got a website?
O'BrienShuffleboards.com.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for calling, pal.
Take care, buddy.
See you. All right. Bye.
All right. Real quick, we got one more quick one to get to before we go to Mike Taylor. And caller, you are on the line with McNutty and the Hammer and the Director.
What's up, Mike?
Nope, 484 number. You called us. Hello.
Yeah. Is this Sean?
It is.
How you doing, Sean? It's Al DiBella. I'm in the car. We're all heading down to Morrow and Shuffleboard tonight.
You know what? If I had had...
Number one, I know everyone in the car wanted to say congratulations to Mike. Oop, you there?
Yeah, we're here. Are you there?
I wanted to give a big shout out to your next guest, Mike Taylor, number one player in the country.
There you go. All right, Al. Well,
good luck on the show, Sean. Excellent luck on the show. You're doing a great job, bud.
Thanks. Hey, can we count on you to be a guest? Everybody knows Al DiBella,
absolutely.
Right?
Oh, you got it, my friend. You got it.
Unfortunately, if we have you sitting in with us, you're going to make the rest of us look ugly.
Yeah.
So, hey.
I think it's a radio show.
Oh, you know what? You know who's in the car with them?
A Pollock,
I think. You got Ness.
We got a Pollock in here. We got a Matt Rosen in here. We got Ron Ness in here. Oh boy!
He's got shuffleboard Santa Claus in the car with him. How do you like the Tuesdays gone? Because when a Pollock walks in the bar, you can always tell by what's playing on the jukebox. All right,
hey,
Al, let me
have
go.
Have a great night and congrats to Mike on making number one. Great,
all right,
great
well,
guest selection,
him,
my friend.
We're
going to
get him
on
up
Dwayne
right
too.
Now.
All right,
sounds good, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, Al.
Just ask Billy Sanders. Bye.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is the sexiest man in the Eastern Delco Shuffleboard League, Mr. Al DiBella.
Oh,
self-voted.
Yeah.
Self-voted. There was one vote. It was him.
Self-promoted?
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you the number one player in the country. He had a big, big Reno tournament.
Big is a small word for that.
Well, it's a big, yeah, you got that. Ladies and gentlemen. Calling in from the lovely state of Texas, can I introduce you to Mike Taylor? Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, McNutty. What's going on?
Nothing, pal. Nothing at all. I got. I don't know if you know Johnny Hordeman. He's. You would have seen him in Michigan or probably in Reno too. He may have tried to smell your underwear. Just that's the way he rolls.
Underwear is not fun to wear.
And we got Treadway. Treadway was the we both met you at the Texas State Open this weekend last year in Austin. I remember karaoke that night.
Yeah, I missed out on that. Y'all made me promise that I'd participate next year if y'all make it back down.
Oh,
that's a bad place.
I don't think there's a way you're going to get out of not participating now.
Let me tell you, pal. You thought the crew last year was interesting.
We're bringing the rest.
Wait till you see. We're bringing the ones that didn't make the cut last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
You ever heard of Steve Coleman?
Hey, y'all don't know me that well if you don't think I won't jump in the middle of that.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've heard some stories, but that's for another show. So let's get on with the shuffleboard stuff. First of all, congratulations on being number one. And you had an amazing time in Reno. Let's start from the beginning. Where's your hometown and what's your home bar?
Well, I grew up outside of Houston in a small town called Wharton. But currently I live in Round Rock, Texas, just outside of Austin, and played a bar called The Post in Cedar Park.
How many tables they got there, Mike?
I can tell you.
They
got 12.
12. Too many crickets.
Yeah, and every single one of them was faster than the boards here.
Really?
If that's possible.
And you shoot with 20s down there, right, Mike? Or is everybody switching to 16s now?
Everybody's been switching to 16s here the last couple of years. I finally got a board. I've used them since Michigan. John brought me a set to Michigan, and I haven't brought out my 20s since I got my hands on the 16s.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Now, why is that? Just so you can, you can dumb it down a little bit with this lower weight, or what's your preference there?
You know, I don't know if it's so much in the mix of the dust, but it seems like most of the tournaments I've gone to this year, the boards have a tendency to release on the end, and you know, it looks like it might be a good mid deuce, and it floats on off the board. So the 16s have a little more tendency, being a slower way, to pulling up there. I don't think I could use anything slower than that because I do like playing all the subtleties of a board. But the 16s
are a good. So you have a planted cap on it then?
I do play with. I played forever with a plastic cap, but I do like the weighted caps now. I have them weighted all the way down. I like the way they start online. I use them more for that reason than anything, is I like being able to start them online, and I think being heavier like that, that's easier for me to do.
Oh, okay.
So how did you get started in shuffleboard? What got you into the game?
Well, I went to a university called Southwest Texas in San Marcos, Texas. And just on the outskirts of town, they had an open ice house called Devil's Backbone Tavern. And real cool open-walled ice house with one shuffleboard and a bunch of pool tables. You and your crew would have loved it. We had a Tuesday night tournament there, and I jumped in it and met a bunch of people. And started bringing friends down. My brother went to school with me. He was a year behind. I started playing my sophomore year in college. And so we started making that tournament on Tuesdays. And then we had a spot in town in San Marcos called Draft Choice. A new sports bar on the square downtown just opened up. And we talked them into putting one in. So not long after that, we had tournaments on Tuesdays and Thursdays that I played avidly.
That sounds cool. So who would you say were mentors to you coming up? Who drop some names? Who do we? I'm sure they're big ones. You know, I've heard stories. So who took you under their wing to get you going?
Nobody back in those first couple years that I played in college, because I didn't even know there was organized shuffleboard. But I moved to Houston when I graduated and met a guy named Harvey Kidd that. You know, a 23-year-old could be doing a lot else, you know, going clubbing or barring or whatever, chasing women, than playing shuffleboard. But Harvey Kidd made it fun, and I look forward to going back frequently. And I guess it was Harvey Kidd that got me hooked and taught me quite a bit about the game.
Sweet, sweet. Yeah,
that's awesome. You guys
are you familiar with the kid? Are you familiar with Harvey and Lily Kidd out of Houston, Sean?
I am not, but I'll certainly be looking around, and you know, I'll know the next time we speak. I'll know a lot more about him. That's for sure.
Yeah, I believe Harvey's in both the National Hall of Fames.
Yeah. See, I'm really, you know, relatively speaking, I'm new to the game. I'm only about four or five years into the game. And judging by the way you saw me shoot in Texas, you'd think I was took it up 2 weeks before that. But it was, you know, I'm starting to learn the names, you know, and when I went down to Texas, it's funny. Bill Kelly and I, we were practicing. I think it was Thursday morning we were practicing. And I see two guys, two tables over, throwing some weights. I don't think anything of it, you know. So I'm a friendly guy. I walk over. I interrupt their game. I introduce myself, and it's Kelly Cameron and Mike Taylor. And poor Kel, he was just about white that I walked over and interrupted you guys. He's like, "You can't do that. How dare you? You're not allowed to do that." I'm like, "What? They're two guys. They look happy." He's like, "They're practicing. They're pros. You got to leave them alone." I said, "Well, now they know who McNutty is. So if they don't take me out back and kick the shit out of me, then I guess it's I guess I made a friend." So it you know go ahead, sir.
I was going to say I couldn't be more friendly in that situation with anybody who wants to walk up and interrupt. But and Kelly Cameron, he's going to get a board too especially when he's with me. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. No, he was, you know, you guys are both the most cordial. I mean, up until Al DiBella was mentioned, then everything got quiet. You know, they were like, "Oh, you know, Al, oh, well." Now, I'm just teasing. Al's listening on the radio, so right now his heart just stopped. He's probably in a ditch somewhere in Maryland heading to league night.
Wouldn't be the first time.
So we had a fellow named Jim O'Brien. He had called in just before we had you on. Were you able to hear him when you were on hold?
Yeah, I was.
Okay. He had a question about lagging. Techniques. What techniques, how do you perfect the lag, so to speak?
You know, I've never been known as a great lagger. I'm more of a board player, speed and angles, and my lag, I do start from everything is moving forward. I don't pull back and then go forward. Everything is starting towards the end of the board, maybe around the deuce line and going forward. I guess I would say I'm a feel lagger who pays attention to what the board's doing. So if I want the board to, you know, if I want my weight to run out, maybe I'll lag towards the low side of the board and get it to run out. If I want it to slow down a little bit, you know, I'll throw a freehander across to the higher side of the board and get it, you know, get it to slow down a little bit faster. But I don't really have a favorite lag. I guess it would be freehand, but I throw it, you know, to different sides of the board depending on what the board's giving me. But
so you don't adjust your stroke, Mike.
Some of these guys get real technical with their lag. I'm not a very technical person when it comes to that. I'm all feel.
Yeah.
So Mike, one of the things I'd like to ask, and it's probably less advanced than how do you lag, but it's more of the question of when you step up to a board for the first time. Let's say you're going to Reno and you're playing a board you've never played before. How do you get adjusted to the board? Like, what is your thought process for those, you know, those first four weights that you're practicing with? What are you trying to do there?
That is a great question. Not just the first four weights, but the first few frames. The first four weights, I want to throw one just harder in lag speed down the left rail and see how much it breaks. Same thing right-handed, straight up the rail, just harder in lag speed, see how much that breaks, which will tell me, even though there's going to be some little, say, crowns or subtleties in a board that you'll have to learn, you will be able to figure out which side is the high side or the low side of the board, depending on how much your right or your left break. And then I like checking my left span straight and my right span straight just to see how much those break as well. But more importantly, in the first few frames of the game or the first half of that first game, considering we play two out of three, I like to check as many shots as possible and just don't leave a rock unturned and make sure I know, you know, what that board's doing by about the halfway point where I feel comfortable shooting something 6 feet.
All right, that sounds, you know, I mean, hey, we're learning off of you as we're sitting here. Me and the directors, we're trying to figure out how can we use this stuff.
Isn't that why we made this? So we can just figure out how Mike Taylor does it?
I see players all the time playing to their strengths. So they'll get up the first few frames and maybe throw a bunch of right hands, making sure they know that their primary shot, which is good, especially if you're a little bit nervous to play on the side of the board that you're comfortable. But any chance you get, check a shot rather than shooting a shot that you know. Even if you have to throw the weight off, check a shot if you don't know it. And you'll be glad you did when it gets later on in the game and you're not looking at a deuce or a three thinking, golly, I should know how to stick that, but I don't. You know, so check some freehand, check some whatever, spans in, spans out, crosses. Make sure you know that board by, you know, in the first few frames.
Yeah, that's really great advice. And I think the one thing that you also touched on there, which I think it's hard for a lot of people that start playing, is you're also practicing in those first few frames. It's not just the weights you throw before; it's during the game. You can get your feeling during those early frames for the rest of the game.
Exactly.
Hey, Mike. So real quick, I see we got D. Wayne calling in. He's going to talk about his President's Day weekend shuffleboard tournament coming up in Arizona. What's upcoming for you this year? Where are you going to play?
Oh, let's see. We have our President's Day tournament. I would really like to make Dwayne's. I love what he's doing with his. Tony Appel was a great friend of mine. They changed the name, making the Memorial Tournament for him. I won't be attending it this year. I have President's Day in Fort Worth or Hearst, Texas, outside of Fort Worth. April, we have our state tournament also in Fort Worth. Let's see, May, I might go back to Exeter. I haven't decided that yet. I went last year, had a good time, went up into the Sequoias, really enjoyed the whole trip. Traveled with a guy named Marcus Zepeda, enjoyed his company. May, June, July. July is Dell City. Haven't made a decision on Dell City yet. August is Michigan. I will be going back to the Jimmy the Cop tournament. Had a great time there. Love what they're doing. They did change that format to a 2 out of 3 and 21 on the losers, which last year it was single to 15. Like that change for the pro's sake. What's after that? We have our Texas Open here. When is that, Sean? You're the one that has to make plans to.
Oh, no, the plans are already done.
Labor Day.
That's Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day.
We already got our plane tickets here.
And
we're
ready. The Ivy Inn trailer will be out back, along with the McNutty merchandise trailer. I hear there's going to be McNutty shirts to be had. But now we're coming to see you. And then, of course, you're going to Reno, right, in October
Labor
this
Day,
year?
Of course, Reno. And then we also have a holiday tournament that has gone back and forth the last 2 years between Cedar Park in Hearst, Texas, and I believe it's going to be maybe in Cedar Park again, or it might be back there at Hearst. I'm not real sure, but that's my calendar year shuffleboard, sir.
Sweet. Well, the only thing missing out of that calendar, I believe you promised that you were going
to
come up to
Philly.
To
the Ivy.
And, you know, we're going to hold you to that. You know, I mean, we're, you know, we get our share of Texas folks up here, and they're always treated well. But we got to have, you know, the pro singles champ come up and test his wares at taking money off of JJ.
Everyone should do that once a year.
So we hope you'll come up.
Yeah, I'm going to take a look at what y'all have going on. I guess the only person I've talked to is Luis. Told Luis Freer to let me know if there's something coming up that we could play in. And I would take a look coming at that point. But I'll take a look at y'all's what y'all have coming up. And I would love to come that way, man. Y'all have been here a couple times. We've had a blast with you. You've done well down here in Texas. In fact, Chris, was that your first win, Chris, down here?
Yeah, that was the first night down there. That was the AB draw with Brian Calloway. That was my first win ever. Yeah, it was great memory.
Yeah. I think I knew that was your first win just by your reaction. You went you went crazy when you won. I love that. I said, obviously, that guy, that had to be a first win for him. But
yeah,
job well done.
Oh, it was either that or the fireball.
Yeah,
you know,
it might have been both. Might have been both.
One or the other. The only thing bigger than our shuffleboard scores was our bar tabs that weekend. So, but we're coming for you, man.
And hell's coming with us.
Yep, we're coming for you in September. September. You can't keep us away this time. And you and I are gonna duet on Paradise by the Dashboard Light. All right.
Sounds good. I'll try and make the Ivy this year, and I'll definitely do karaoke with y'all this year.
That sounds awesome, Mike. It was great talking to you. We hope you'll come on again as we after we get some metrics back and see how this big shit show is going to take across the country. But thank you very much for calling in. You're a stand up guy, brother, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Sean. Love what you're doing. Later.
Have a good one, pal. See you soon. All right. That was Mike Taylor, ladies and gentlemen, from calling in from Cedar Park, Texas. Well, or thereabouts.
Round Rock,
Cedar Park. It's all flat with stuff. That was a weird thing, man, driving from the airport to the airport from, you know, Austin to Cedar Park. Man, you could just see forever in both directions. And up here, moving along at 90, you got to worry about.
Speed limit's higher down there, right?
Am I getting pulled over? Am I this and that? If you're not moving like 90 miles an hour, they're going to run you over.
Don't you got to watch for armadillos?
Yeah, not on the highways.
Yeah, well.
And they had the weirdest highway system set up. Like, you had to have a certain easy pass thing just to drive on this one road. And it was, you know, without that, it's amazing none of us got locked up. There we have it. So we are going to move along. We're sorry. We kept them on hold for a while. But ladies and gentlemen, our next guest to the McNutty, the Hammer, and the Director show, from parts unknown, from places unknown, Dwayne Maxwell. Welcome to the show, buddy.
How are y'all doing, guys?
What's up, Dwayne?
Couldn't be better. You got Johnny Hordeman. You got McNutty. You got Johnny Hordeman. You got Chris Treadway. Standing here, we're waiting to talk to you.
Yeah.
What's new from parts unknown?
Well, you know, I it's really rough calling into Philly, you know, after this last weekend. After 3 weeks ago, they kicked my Vikings butt. You know,
yeah, but, I wasn't going to bring that up.
I was all over Facebook. I deserved half of what I got, you know.
Well,
you guys lit me up pretty good.
You know, it really wasn't you know, it was
a team effort.
Yeah,
it wasn't just us.
Yeah,
it wasn't just us. You know?
You'd be surprised how many people wanted to light you up after that. After the game. Do you think the worst part about it, when the Vikings flew home from Philly to clean out their lockers so the Eagles could put their stuff in their lockers? Do you think that was the worst part?
No, because New England was the only thing they had to clean out for New England.
Yeah,
that's even worse.
You know, actually, what's funny is we were so into talking to Taylor. I was going to try and get you on at 6:22, you know, or as we in Philly like to tell Vikings fans, 38 till 7. But enough of that.
I'll tell you what. I got to tell you one story about the Philly.
Okay.
Because everybody says, how am I a Viking fan living in the desert in Arizona?
Exactly.
Well, we had no football team when I grew up. So we had Christmas. I was about 5-6 years old. We all reached our hands in the box. My two brothers pulled out the St. Louis Cardinals helmet, and I pulled out the Minnesota Vikings helmet. And that was it. I was a diehard Viking fan. Well, come to find out, about 3 years later, I got a little older. That helmet was actually a Philadelphia Eagles helmet. You know, had the same wings. They have the same wings that the Vikings have on them. You know, so technically, I should have been a Philly fan.
Well, you'd be celebrating a Super Bowl if you were an Eagles fan. Mm.
I know.
We're not the city of losers anymore.
Anymore,
we are winners.
Do you even have a city still?
It's funny you mention
don't
that.
Be a sore loser.
Because the national media, like, they were talking about it must have seemed like hell had come through Philadelphia when we won. There were only a couple people arrested. One awning fell down, and a couple knuckleheads turned over a car. You know, it wasn't.
And I'd like to point out, in the town of Havertown, where the Ivy Inn is a staple, there was no acts of vandalism, violence, or anything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you throw snowballs at Santa Claus one time 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and you know, you just never get past that. But yeah, actually in Boston, there was more arrests and more damage done in Boston or Amherst.
UMass Amherst.
Yeah. And then there was in Philly. I mean, you know, at least our quarterback can catch. That's all I'm saying.
There you go. Well, let's get the shuffleboard here.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, before we get to your tournament, all right, where exactly is D-Wayne? Where is your where's your hometown? And what's the bar you shoot out of when you're in Arizona?
It's Stinger's Sports Bar, and it's in Glendale, and I live in Glendale. And it's all an offshoot. It's all connected to Phoenix. It's, you know, they all run together.
Okay.
Yeah, so good old Arizona, tumbleweeds, you know, desert.
Scorpions.
Yes.
Hey,
matter,
you know what?
That's,
you got deserts on the left and mountains with snow caps on the right.
We actually do. 2 hours away, you're in the snow.
I like snow.
Yeah.
We have enough of it.
And then we got the President's Day tournament coming up. Expecting a good turnout. Anticipating about 100 people out here for it.
Yeah, the Ivy's sending a bunch out for you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we got you, Philly's going to represent. And, you know, and I'm just a head figure. There's so many people out here doing the work for me.
Right.
It's been awesome. I just make phone calls and bug people about coming out.
Yeah, I was going to say, keep calling. Make sure you call Havy at 4 a.m. tonight or tomorrow morning.
You know, he's been getting pretty rough to get a hold of.
What? give us a quick. And since you know, like me and the director here, we're newer to the game. Tell us about Tony and how you came to rename the tournament. About Tony.
When I first learned, it was probably 30 years ago, and Tony, it was just getting really good, and I was only in the game for about a year. And I know he was volatile. He didn't like losing. There's no doubt about that. But then I went to San Diego, ended up back in Phoenix about 12 years ago, and met up with Tony, and me and him just hit it off. He took me to California for my first tournaments. I think we won 3 in a row up there playing doubles. And, he just took me under his wing. And playing with him, the key was don't make eye contact, because he's going to yell at you.
All right.
But away from shuffleboard, that guy was the nicest, sweetest guy. I can call him up, Tony, I need help. He goes, what do you need? You know. But he was one of the big competitors. And I know him and Mike Taylor used to play till 7 o'clock in the morning out of Reno every year. I mean, they'd play sessions all night long.
Okay. And you want to give the tournament, give me the because we're all across the nation, so we got people are checking in with me on my phone. I got people checking in from Washington, got people down in Florida, we got the Texas crew listening. We got, you know, you want to give me some quick I guess is registration still open, or did they have you shut it down?
I don't do a closed, or it's open until the 5 o'clock on the day it starts. We don't shut it down. And it's a nice little week. I want to have 10 tables set up this year.
Okay.
I had
awesome.
8 last year, so I'll have 10 this year. And it's a nice little weekend tournament, you know. And a lot of people, there's about 4 or 5 people last year that came out to Phoenix. And then after Phoenix, they got on a red eye or an early morning flight and were in Houston or in Texas playing the President's Day tournament on Monday.
Oh, wow. Okay.
and I'll tell you what, that President's Day tournament, they do a good job out there. And all the big pros and stuff, I mean, they're in Texas. You want to play the pros, you're pretty much playing in Texas. And
right.
They put on a good tournament there. So, it's, you know, I'm just a little weekend tournament, and they got the big good one.
right.
You know,
people coming out for the tournament, if they haven't already booked a room, where are you putting everybody?
I got rooms booked at the Premier Inn at Metro Center, and tax and everything, they're $56 a night.
Okay. And so how much are the hookers out there?
Well, it all depends what kind.
Yeah, well, yeah,
you know,
I guess.
You want the drug addict ones or, you know.
Actually, I'm into midgets myself. But,
easy,
I mean,
easy.
If you have to specialize, I'm just kidding with you. But so we got the tournament. And what's the format for the weekend? What are you doing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
It's Thursday night. We're doing open AB or just, you know, draws. Friday we're starting an ABC. And then Saturday we do an open doubles and an add to four doubles.
Okay.
And then we do 100% payout, and I got $1,000 added into the pot.
That sounds awesome.
So,
well, like I said,
yeah,
I got
quite a few people coming out from Washington, Oregon, some Texans. But we got a good variety of people coming across the country out to it.
That sounds like it's going to be a nice weekend for everybody. So, hey, Dwayne, one final thing before we let you go. We had a fellow named Jim O'Brien. He called in from he was calling in from Washington earlier, and he asked a question. He posed a question for us to ask all three of you guys that are coming on tonight. And the question was, it had to do with lagging.
How do you figure out a lag? What's your strategy for figuring out a lag during a game and just trying to get to the end of the board?
Well, pretty much I shoot from a spot. And Mike Taylor's pretty much dead on about moving forward because I don't pull the weight back. I just – all my weight's going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So, I pick a spot maybe at the top of the number one. And I let it go from there. If it goes off the board, I bring it up a little farther, and the stroke is shorter. And basically, it's just mechanical. It's pushing it the same speed every time for me. You know, and it's a very mechanical lag for me.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I remember you showing me that when we were in Reno.
Mm-hmm. So I did have one more question I think is really important for the shuffleboard community at large, and, you know, at least for us. It's really when you're going to play, Dwayne, from a clothing standpoint, do you really feel, you know, how do you dress for a game?
It's all matching, brother.
All right, the people that don't know, he wears some crazy, crazy outfits. I mean, bright colors.
Crazy,
every color brilliant. Under the sun.
Crazy brilliant.
I think he does it to distract his opponent.
Yeah. And you guys all, you know, I got to get on Mike Taylor a little bit and give a little shout out for the IVN. Because anybody going out to Jimmy the Cop tournament, the weekend before, the IVN does a great tournament. You hit that one, you go see the Liberty Bell downtown Philly, and then you head to Detroit and you play in the Jimmy the Cop.
Yeah. Oh, actually, yeah. This year, July 28th and 29th here at the Ivy is the PA State Open, and it's
I played in it 2 years ago.
Because that brings up my final question: when are you coming back, man? We had such a good time the last time you were here. When are you coming back to hang with us?
Well, my goal this year is at the end of April, heading up to Exeter, and then going up to the PMW, the Pacific Northwest Championship. They're having it at a casino this year, and it's supposed to be just a beautiful venue. So I'm just going straight from Exeter on up the coast, and then I'm coming back down through Nebraska, and I'm going to hit the 4th of July tournament, and then it's up to Wisconsin, and then I'm going to be at the Ivy this year.
Awesome.
And then Jimmy the Cop.
All right.
So
well,
that's
we're,
the plans.
We're looking forward to having you back here at the Ivy, brother. Hey, Dwayne, thanks for calling in. And for those that are out there listening, you're going to hit the President's Day weekend tournament. It's in Arizona. Go ahead, plug it one more time, Dwayne, and then we're going to say goodbye.
President's Day weekend, the 16th it starts. It runs through Sunday. You're guaranteed to be out there, out of there Sunday night, and you can fly home on Monday. Or better yet, you can get on the plane and fly to Texas and play for another 7 days.
And what bar is that at?
That's at the Stinger Sports Bar, 43rd Avenue, Peoria.
They got a website?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Okay, well, look them up.
I flood Facebook with flyers every other day.
Sounds good. Dwayne, thanks for calling in. Dwayne Maxwell calling in from Arizona to the McNutty and the Hammer and the Director Show. Dwayne, we'll talk to you soon, pal. Take it easy.
All right. Good job, guys. Thank you.
Thanks,
see you,
Dwayne.
Pal. Bye-bye.
All right. See you, brother.
So while we're waiting for Mr. McDermott to call in, anybody's got any questions, call in. Give us a call at 718-508-9883, 718-508-9883. Shuffling with McNutty and the Hammer and the Director. We're going to take a commercial break. We'll see you in just a couple minutes.
I'm Black Man, saving man's eye, one stereotype at a time.
To the Blackmobile. To the corner of Martin Luther King Street and Malcolm X Boulevard. Pronto.
Will Black Man make it to the crime on time? Or will he be on CPT? Stay tuned at ChrisFraleyPresents.com.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your ghoul friend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
All right, guys, we are back live. McNutty and the Hammer and the Director from the Ivy Inn, Brookline Boulevard, Havertown, Pennsylvania. IvyInn.org?
.org.
We got John McDermott on the line, and we've lifted the 7 o'clock curfew. We're going to finish. We want to give John all the time he wants, so we're going to stay on. As long as you guys are cool hanging with us, we're gonna stay on until we get everybody done. Doesn't have to be an hour show. We can go a little bit longer. We're having a good time. We hope you guys are too.
Who put a curfew on this show to begin with?
Yeah, you gotta have a beginning and an end time, you know.
Yeah.
You know. So.
I've seen Netflix.
Anyway, it looks like we got Dwayne calling back in. So I want to just jump to Dwayne, see what he's got, and then we'll get to Mr. McDermott in just 1 second. So, Dwayne, what's up? I see you called back in, buddy.
Did you butt dial us?
No. You know, when you're talking live, there are certain things you want to say and you forget to say them.
All right.
I got to give a big shout out to John McDermott and the Shuffleboard Federation because they do a lot for my tournament. He's donating a set of weights to be raffled off to help me off with some of the costs, and I really appreciate that. And we use his wax and spray. So I just wanted to plug the Federation real quick. I didn't want to leave that out.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we got him. He's coming up next. So if you didn't plug him, we will certainly plug him. He's a handsome fellow. And plug him. Plug him means something entirely different in Arizona than it does over here in Philly, brother.
I'll tell you.
I'm gonna go back eating my popcorn and listening to you guys.
There you go. Thanks, Dwayne. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right.
So, with that being said,
he's our first double caller.
Yeah. How could I not take a call back from Dwayne?
Yeah.
But
you can.
We've cut him. We've kept him on hold too long. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Shuffleboard Federation,
holla,
the master of all things that is Reno. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, John McDermott. John, how you doing, pal?
Terrific. Thanks, guys. Did I hear somebody say unmuted?
Well, no, that's the when I go to the board. When I click to live,
right,
then I've unmuted.
I've been waiting to hear those words for a long time, you know.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry.
Prefer to have me,
can we remute?
Some of my staff in Reno prefers to have me on mute.
Well, this I got to tell you, pal, this is the first time that you and I have spoken, but I've unknowingly done business with you for a while now, and it's true. I mean, you know, you can't play shuffleboard without having the Shuffleboard Federation involved at some point, either the weights or the wax or, you know, all the other things. Jesus, I mean, if you Google shuffleboard weight, it automatically takes you to the Shuffleboard Federation pretty much website. So let's talk about you. What do you got?
Oh, wow. Boy, where do I start? You had kind
of
prepared questions for the other guys. I thought you were going to
start with how you started. How did you start shuffleboard?
Well, yeah, actually, let's start at the beginning. How did you get into shuffleboard, the game?
Well, that one involved underage drinking, actually.
What good story doesn't?
There you go.
There's no good story that ever started
I
had a salad.
I caddied when I was in high school, and when we were about 17 and a half or three quarters. Of course, the drinking age was 18 back then, but somebody had found a bar a couple miles away from the golf course that we could get served at, and they just happened to have a shuffleboard table. And had never seen one of those before, but it didn't take long to get hooked, and life was just never the same after that.
Right on.
Amen.
And how did it go from a 17-year-old underage drinking in a bar to the next level, I guess? How did you get to, you know, basically taking over a casino and bringing people in from all over the world to play in your tournament? Did it graduate to, you know, a bar league? Before you started Reno? I mean, I guess there were little, you know, regional tournaments or whatever, but How did it go from a 17-year-old, you know, in a bar to running, you know, an entire casino's worth of shuffleboard?
Well, I ended up on a league team that first year, so I guess I had been playing maybe 4 months or so, and really enjoyed that. Played league for – we actually won the playoffs that year. I didn't play much. It was mostly just a bench guy at that point in time, but really kind of got in my blood, and I played my first tournament in 1978 – a place called the Wagon Wheel Tavern in Lake Orion, Michigan. And I heard they had a tournament, didn't have a partner, but I called up and they said, you know, we'll find you somebody to play with if you want to come out. So they did. And after the tournament was over with, I walked up to the guy who was running it. And silly me, I had some suggestions. And he was about my dad's age and looked at me kind of like my dad did sometimes. And, told him what I had to say, and he said, well, if you're so effing smart, you go run the next one. And about a month later, I ran a tournament at a place called the Winter Garden Bar in Detroit, and it just kind of rolled from there. By the time I ran the first North American Championships, which is actually in Vegas, I had run somewhere in the neighborhood of 120 or 30 tournaments around Michigan, the Midwest, and some of them in actually out in PA and Texas, Nebraska. So I kind of felt like I had prepared most of my adult life for that by the time it started in 1990.
Oh, okay.
That in 1990 was the first, that was the first North American Shuffleboard Championships, correct?
Correct, yeah. And that was at the Sahara Casino in Vegas. And, really cool facility, but it was just a nightmare. You know, the shuffleboard was way too small of a group for a Vegas hotel, and we just, you know, got pulverized financially on it. And there wasn't going to be a second North American Championships had it not been for a woman named Barbara Woodward at the Sands. Called me a few months after that and said, you know, hey, we heard about your tournament. We run these other pool and cribbage and darts and these other what we call special events, and they were interested in talking to me. So I flew out there, spent a couple days. We struck a deal to run a tournament, and then they kind of liked it. We renewed it for a year, and I think another one-year contract. And then it went to a couple of two-year contracts and then a five. And the big one was in 2000 where we struck a deal with them where they would put up the money to buy 24 custom-made shuffleboards for the tournament, which they would basically release to me over the life of an eight-year contract. So at the end of 8 years, they were my tables, which they still take care of out there, and they keep them in a humidity-controlled, temperature-controlled room and everything. So that was kind of the turning point. We had been running around prior to that, renting four boards here and six boards there, and just you know, very cumbersome when you get up to 20 plus tables to do it that way. So that was kind of the breakthrough year, and then I've had really good success the last 5 or 6 years, and a lot of that I credit to Facebook, to be honest with you, because it's just such an easy way to get information out to the people, your core audience, past participants, and so on and so forth. And for other tournament directors out there, you don't have a Facebook specific page for your tournament, you're really doing yourself a disservice.
All right. Yeah. I mean, we, you know, we here at the Ivy, I've never been out to Reno. Certainly. I mean, I certainly hope to get out there.
Shuffleboard heaven.
I mean, you know, from all the stories that we've heard, it's just, you know, it's a who's who when you're out there. I mean, you're running into, you know, everybody that you've ever heard of playing is walking right, you know, is there. They're there. So I you know, what do you got for this year? This have you set the dates up to Reno this year?
And it's got the website up, which is www.2018.com. NASC.com. The tournament always starts the last Saturday in October, which this year is the 27th, and then it ends on the first Sunday, or actually the a week from Sunday. So in this case, it would be November 4th. So October 27th through November 4th.
Okay. And I know,
the 29th annual this year.
Awesome. I know a bunch of the Ivy shooters have had some success out there. So we're looking to continue that streak. Reno has been good to some of them. And
you guys
from
the Ivy have had some success pretty much everywhere you travel, it seems like.
Well, we're trying. You know, we're trying. I mean, Kel's doing everything on his end to really promote the game, and we're very lucky that a lot of the Ivy the better shooters, the A shooters, they're getting the new shooters involved and keeping them going. So we're hoping to make a big showing out there in the next year or so. You know, I mean it's
certainly look forward to welcoming you to the NASC family at some point in time, Sean.
Well, hey, you know we're trying to get this little thing going here, and hopefully we're able to unite all the different pockets of shuffleboard. And we're gonna call on you, you know, as one of the experts. We're gonna call on you to guide us that way, that hopefully we can all talk about shuffleboard and keep, you know, instead of there being Northwest and Texas and Michigan and Arizona and, you know, PA and Florida, maybe we can all just get together once a week or once every other week or whatever and talk about what's going on. That's what we're hoping here. So,
yeah, I absolutely love it. I hope it takes off, and look forward to being on as often as you're willing to have me.
Yep. Well, I do. Definitely, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, no. So I wanted to ask, while we got you on, John, I mean, as someone that's been running probably the largest tournament that's run each year for shuffleboard, can you just, you know, reach back in your memory, and maybe it's fresh, maybe it's not. Tell us, you know, probably one of your best memories from running the Reno tournament in the last few years.
Oh boy.
And it's on the internet, so you don't have to you don't have to second. It's on the internet.
Well, you know, I just as far as the just running that tournament, it really is just living a dream for me. I absolutely love running tournaments, and I'm like a kid before Christmas every year when it comes up. It doesn't get old, and I look forward to just raising the bar in some small way each and every year to just keep us all on our toes. I guess, you know, the 25th annual, that was a really big one. That was something I had really anticipated for a long time, and hard to believe it's we're almost on number 30 now. But I did play in the singles in that event for the first time in probably 22 years, and that was a crappy decision on my part because I don't have time to practice and get ready for that, and I played horrible. But we were sitting there on 31 players, and 32 was a full field, and a lot of my buddies just kind of encouraged me or talked me into getting in. I don't know, probably because they figured I was going to be easy to beat that week anyway. So, but
you know, it's
it
not like
cool
you had anything
this,
else going on.
Yeah.
Well, and,
yeah, you're just
you know,
running.
We've done Crazy Eights a couple of times, which is a really great game. I don't know if you guys play that at all. Are you familiar with it?
I am not, but maybe the other fellas.
Yeah, I'm a little bit familiar with it. It's kind of like Manny Yonk, right? Have you ever heard of Manny Yonk?
I don't know.
You have to get as many weights off.
Well, no.
Well,
I'll
tell you what. You tell us.
You
tell us what you.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, John.
You throw four weights. You throw four weights of the same color all at one time to start the frame. So you basically make it into a group.
Yeah, that's what we call Manny Yonk out here on the East Coast. So you throw the four weights, and then the four weights of the color that you have at your end of the board, you have to get the opposite color off before you can score any points.
Can we change the name to Crazy Eights? Because Manyunk is really weird.
Yeah, it's no, we're familiar with it. We're just talking two different term, you know, two different names.
Yeah, so that was actually kind of a highlight for me. A couple of years that I played in that, it was just basically like an hour and a half long event in between the end of the pro singles and the start of the AB draws. And for people that are up and coming players, that's one of the best ways to practice you could possibly imagine, because you get a chance to, you know, practice both lagging, combinations, splits, basically all the shots. And it's fun to practice by yourself because you can kind of challenge yourself and see how big of scores you can come up. And it's more engaging than just throwing weights back and forth. And like I said, it gives you practice with a variety of different shots. So I did enjoy the couple times I played in that because it gave me time to spend with you know, the other pro players in a semi-competitive but still fun atmosphere, because I do miss that sometimes out there. But better to run a good tournament than to do two things poorly. So I just got to keep my you know, attention focused on the tournament side of things. But yep, that's a kind of a fun memory.
No, I completely agree. So I got two more quick little questions, and then we got a couple callers to get to. Products. When you and I talked, when we were messaging back and forth, you were saying about your shuffleboard wax. Your shuffleboard wax is used in 90%, I think you said, of the bars, as far as wax goes. Or was I may be mistaken.
Well, I would say not in bars in general, but in what we would consider to be the active tournament community.
Gotcha. And what about your wax is so special?
Well, it's the ingredients are custom made for us. They go through multiple screenings, each one a little finer process, and we've actually taken that from a in-house double screening to up to a triple screening process. And done everything humanly possible to make it the best product.
We here at the IVN, we use it. Kel uses it on his tables, and we use your wax
in our league.
In our league, the DSL. So yeah, we're familiar with it. I love it. I mean, it's great. I'm often concerned when we go and play at another bar, and it's a different. It's not the wax I'm used to, because then there's all kinds of havoc.
Yeah, the cornmeal. Run into that every once in a while.
Yeah, that's tough to play on. But even that, you know, when I first started playing, that was early years of league. We played on straight cornmeal, not even like what you guys probably play on now, which probably at least has 50% or 70% white lightning in it. This was straight yellow cornmeal, and you couldn't wax the rails, and you could only wax the board every three games. So it was just brutal, speed wise.
Some leagues in the city are still like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played in a tournament over in Gloucester, New Jersey, a couple weeks ago, and it had the different wax, and I went to throw a weight, my first practice weight after I got to the bar. I went to throw a weight and I threw it at hitting speed on what I'm used to, and it just crossed the foul line and stopped. Well, I'm going to throw my shoulder out in this game.
Definitely a different game sometimes, there for sure.
Yep.
Oh,
so,
let me give a shout out to the EDSL, because they've been customers for, I would say, probably 20 years, maybe even further back than that. They were some of the first people out in your part of the country to use our wax. And also thanks to Dwayne for the nice shout out. It was kind of funny because when he called back in just as I was getting ready to go on, I thought, I wish that I could conference in with him, because I'd ask him what he's doing interrupting me, and I could see getting bumped for Taylor, you know, calling back in. But I'm just, you know, going to give Wayne a little shit there, and then he goes off and gives me a compliment. So I'm glad it was on mute there, because I'd have said something and screwed the whole deal up.
Well, that's when we decided we really wanted to talk to you. You know, your name comes up everywhere. As I said, if you Google, you know, shuffleboard weights, the first thing that comes up is Shuffleboard Federation. So no matter what, we had, you know, if we had to run late, if we had to run out, that's fine. But I knew we wanted, you know, we wanted to talk to you. And that actually brings me to one other question that I have. Fed 16s, why does everybody have to have them? You tell me, you know, that's what we play with here. There are house weights here. But what is it about Fed 16s? What did you do that they seem to be the staple of the you know, shuffleboard community?
Well, it's interesting that there's been some product shift as far as that goes. For a long time, we sold more 20s every year than all the other speeds combined by a pretty good margin. And now it seems like a lot of that momentum has shifted to 16s, and I don't know. A lot of that is a situation where people have already got a set of 20s and they're looking to expand the arsenal. But the hallmark of the whole Pro Series line is getting weights that are consistent. You know, each set, the eight weights, lag consistently with each other. And if you put any other brand on a speed testing device, it's not unusual to come up with several feet or more difference in speed between the fastest and the slowest. So that's, as I said, the hallmark of the Pro Series line is consistency regardless of what speed it is. And that's actually a product that I'm super personally involved with and hands-on with. The weights come to me after they've been cut into their original or into their final form and ground and heat treated and all that kind of stuff. And then I hand polish every single weight before it goes to the chrome plating process. And when we get them back from chrome plating, then I hand polish every single weight afterwards and personally engrave the serial numbers. So that's something that's a product that I take a lot of pride in. I remember back in the day when good weights were hard to come by. So I love being able to present a full range of options. We're up to five speeds now on those. But Mike Taylor made a comment in the Table Shuffleboard magazine, which anybody who's not a subscriber, you really need to do that. But Mike made a comment quoting his good friend Craig White about speeds, is that it's easier to push a weight a little bit harder to get it to a three than to pull back on speed if you're dumping them off the end. And that inspired Mike to go from playing with 20s to playing with 16s, and he credits that in the magazine as being one of the things that helped him win the tournament Reno for the first time.
Right on. Well, he told us it was his socks, but, you know, he guess he's got to take care of you too. We thought it was.
We got him in writing. Trust me, when I saw that quote from him in writing, I said I'm going to get some mileage out of this. So, Mike, I hope you're listening. I love the plug, intentional or otherwise, and I will get some mileage out of it, my friend.
Well, you know, I'm just teasing you. You know, as I say here at the Ivy, the Fed weights are they're the house weights, so. And I know that one of your distributors or representatives, he actually shoots in the EDSL, and he keeps up on that, making sure that all the products are front and center, so to speak.
So, John, how do you get those weights to be consistent? Do you have like someone that you pay to throw like each weight, or like you put them down? I've seen a ramp before, contraption.
I have a speed testing device okay. Just about in my table, just about 5 feet away from where I do the polishing. So it's all very tightly controlled once it gets to that point in the operation.
Okay, that's awesome.
Gotcha. And so we're gonna wrap it up, I guess, with this question. John McDermott, president of the Shuffleboard Federation, what are your suggestions for new shooters? What do you got for them?
Well, you definitely want to be playing against the best competition that's available to you. Whoever the best players are in that bar, that town, those are the people you want to spend as much time with as possible, because those are the people that can teach you the most. So yeah. That first and foremost, you know, obviously practice is really important. And I mentioned Crazy Eights already, but everybody who's an up-and-coming player should be playing horse collar once a week. And that's just a terrific way to become a better lagger. And, you know, we all know the importance of that. So those are two things. And then I think Mike touched on it a little bit also about players in comfort zones. To me, it's really crucial when you get into a clutch situation, your comfort zone might be that you can hit this weight off right-handed, you know, 95 times out of 100. You feel great about it, but if the scoreboard really requires that you stick that weight, and the only way to do it is left-handed or a shot that you're not as familiar with or comfortable with, you got to make that shot. And if you get beat on it, you get beat on it. And, you know, next time you'll be a little more proficient when you're put in that situation. But you never get to learn to deliver in clutch situations unless you put yourself in that situation. And so, you know, to me, better to get beat a few times than to become proficient at shooting the shot that really wasn't the right shot anyway.
Awesome. Awesome. We really appreciate you calling in. Plug some websites.
Well, you know, it's certainly Ivy, .org, the Table Shuffleboard Association website, or Facebook group, I should say. Shout out to Hudson and Champion Shuffleboards, who have been big supporters of the live streaming project in Reno every year, as has Heirloom Shuffleboards. And all of them have websites. And
how about the Shuffleboard Federation? I mean, that seems like an important one.
Okay, yep, shuffleboardfederation.com. And then we actually have a couple of different YouTube channels, one for the Shuffleboard Federation and one specifically for the North American Shuffleboard Championships. So there's some great content on both of those, and then also the North American Championships video or Facebook page, which James maintains, as well as the group that we have. And then I know James has been working on editing down all of the raw footage from the tournament last year, and he'll be releasing those onto the YouTube page for the NASC, one game a week, starting here shortly and going over the next probably 4 or 5 months by the time they're all uploaded. So I guess that's one more tip for aspiring players. Watch those pro singles matches and listen to the commentary. And some of it might go over your head as a new player, but, you know, that's okay. The main thing is, really analyzing all the possible options you have for your next shot and picking the best one. And one of the things that Billy Mays used to say is that, an amateur player might look at a board full of weights and only see two or three courses of action, where Billy might see 15 different options. So I think when you watch those pro singles matches, they'll talk about options that guys are considering that maybe the average player wouldn't have thought of, and that's all good stuff too.
So I'll tell you, John, if you send us all that information, we're going to get that up on the Shuffling with McNutty and Hammer. We'll get that up on the Facebook page so everyone that's listening can see it, and we'll be able to share that all. So that'll be great.
Sure. You want me to just post the links up on your page?
By all means, please do. So,
okay.
John, it's been
terrific.
It's been great talking to you. I hope we can count on you calling back in, when we decide, the next show or the next couple shows. Very informative. We've enjoyed your time. We hope we didn't take too much of your time. I know we had originally planned on 7 o'clock and we're creeping up on 7:30, but hey, we're just hanging out, having a good time, right?
Yeah, a lot to talk about. A lot more too, John.
Thanks, man. Looking forward to the next time. You guys did a great job tonight.
That sounds great, John. We'll talk to you soon. Ladies and gentlemen, John McDermott of the Shuffleboard Federation. We'll talk to you soon, pal. Have a good night.
Take care.
You too.
All right. Well, that was Mr. McDermott. So real quick, we have one more caller. They've been patiently waiting, and I'm so, so very sorry that it's taken us this long. But, hey, you get into a conversation, you got to get into a conversation. Real quick, one quick plug. Call the Greiser LaPierre Agency today, a family-run real estate team entering their 40th year of servicing buyers and sellers in the Tri-County area. Buy or sell a house with the Greiser LaPierre team and get 40 years of experience, plus you will feed a family for a year. Heather Greiser, the team CEO, in addition to servicing clients, runs the Philadelphia chapter of Kids Against Hunger, feeding children around the world and around the corner by selling one home at a time. Respected and referred, the Greiser LaPierre team, 484-995-7730, greiserteam.com. What more can you say about that? Selling homes, feeding people.
All good.
All right. So this is going to be our last caller of the night. And I'm sorry we kept you waiting. 832, you're on the line. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
832 is Houston, Texas. And this is Casey Abels. What's up, guys?
Casey, how you doing? We haven't seen you since the whole post debacle, shall we say.
We call it the Labor Day incident.
The Labor Day incident, as we refer to it up here. We don't talk about it much. What how do we get so lucky to have another pro on the phone tonight?
Not even close, but thanks. No, I just wanted to call in and just, you know, say hi and say what's up and say that this has been awesome, and I think this is such a fantastic idea. It's been highly entertaining and informative, and just wanted to give y'all some kudos and say you're doing a good job.
Thank you. You ain't seen nothing yet, girl.
Yeah, we're gonna try and now we've set the bar. Now we gotta jump over the bar, you know, so to speak. Which I'm good at bar hopping.
Yeah. None of us can jump.
So can we count on you to
go under the barn?
Can we count on you to join us for karaoke at the post this Labor Day coming up, or what?
I have been known to have a couple beverages and sing "Pinball Wizard" by The Who, so.
I will take you up on that. I will take you up on that.
I'm with you. You know, what's funny about, and not to, this isn't a karaoke show, but what's funny was, did you hang out late each of the nights that we were there? Did you see the karaoke experiment the last time we were at the post?
Well, first of all, if you ask anyone, if you said, did Casey Abels hang out late, you already know the answer to that question. It was a definite yes.
Because
I was there for the whole thing. It was absolutely ridiculous, and I loved it.
Well, we were doing our karaoke, and everybody's going up and doing their song, and then Kim, small, skinny Kim.
Kim Lothar.
She says, you know, I'm gonna sing Black Velvet. And I'm the musician in the group. I'm the actual singer in the group. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. You know, you got to have some balls to belt that song out. And she fucking killed it. I got chills.
She killed it.
I got chills watching her. She jumped up and grabbed that song by the balls and turned it. Oh, it was, you know. So anyway, I digress.
Can you tell he's a musician?
He's really excited.
So from what I understand, and again, I'm new, you know, within a couple of years, I'm new to this whole thing, and I didn't realize that, like, shuffleboard is a way of life in Texas. There seem to be a lot of people with the last name Abels that are really, really good down that way.
Very able.
How did you get started? What got you into the game, and how did you get going?
Actually, yeah, my dad started playing when I was in high school, probably like a junior or so. And he just went to this little bar down the street. I'm sure that board was terrible, but he'd come home and win every single week. And I'm like, how much did you win tonight, Dad? How much did you win tonight? So I was like, man, there's got to be something to this. Well, I go to college. I moved to Huntsville. I come back home. And within 3 weeks, I was on his league team and started playing and haven't quit since then. So definitely Dad was my inspiration to getting started and sucked in, so to speak.
He was at Reno this year too, right?
Oh, yeah. And that's another thing that was so amazing. So, you know, sadly Dad's, you know, going through some things right now. He's pretty sick. But this year was the first time that he was able to make it out to Reno. And that was due in a large part to the shuffleboard community at large, you know, literally coming out of their pockets to help him see that to fruition. Special thanks to John and everybody who contributed to that. It was absolutely amazing. So that was just such a cool experience for him just to be there for the first time and for me as well. We played doubles together. He and Mom were both on my six-man team. Sorry, John, six-person team. So the whole thing was amazing. We went to Tahoe and did all the stuff. So, yeah, that was pretty sweet. Very memorable. Yeah.
That sounds great. So what's up? Do you do any of the traveling that some of the other players do? How far out of Texas do you venture?
And are you coming to the IVN?
Well, I have been to the IVN. I guess it was pre-McNutty and Treadway time. Actually, when Biggio was inducted into the Hall of Fame, my family and I took like a 2-week road trip. And we got an RV and started from Texas and drove all the way to Cooperstown. I couldn't take that much time off work, so my brother and I flew into Philly. And Louise picked us up from the airport, drove us straight to the Ivy, and we played for like, you know, 14 hours straight. And it was one of the greatest nights ever. If you have not been to the Ivy, put it on your list and make sure that you do it. They literally rolled out the red carpet, and I just thought it was like way over the top and ridiculous, but I loved it. You know, Kel's amazing, and I just had a blast. So if you haven't been to the Ivy,
We just lost Tubbsy last year, but didn't Tubbsy drive you guys to meet up with your family or something?
That guy. Oh my gosh. So like they were in the RV and we had to meet them on the turnpike. So he drives us 2 hours one way, drops us off, and then drives 2 hours back. Like it was the coolest. So I much appreciated that, and to Ray Worski for hooking that up. So
well, you wouldn't be the only person that Tubbsy's dropped on the highway. They were usually wrapped in a carpet and stuffed down in the ditch. But you know, that's another story.
One of the lucky ones.
Yeah, I made it out unscathed.
There you go.
Yeah.
So when are you coming back?
Dude, as soon as I can. Like Mike said, like, let me know what kind of events I'll have going on. See if I can fit it into the schedule, because I absolutely need to.
Well, we're gonna make sure that all the events of the Ivy, you're gonna be able to find them all on Shuffling with McNutty and the Hammer on Facebook. You'll be able to find that. So we're gonna make sure it's easy for everyone to find out the events at the Ivy. And if there's any events you guys want to, you know, broadcast, let us know.
Awesome.
Yeah,
can't wait.
If you guys have anything, yeah, send it to us. Send it to us on the, you know, through the Shuffling page, and we'd, you know, there's nothing in it for us, just to promote. We want to promote the game, and get the game, you know, get us all united, so that everybody's traveling everywhere, so to speak, you know. But make no bones about it. We have a crew coming for you, in August this year. You thought last year was bad. You ain't seen nothing yet.
I'm like really excited / borderline scared, but come on.
As you should be.
Yeah, well, I just, you know, some things are better left in Texas. That's, I guess, all we should say about that, right?
Well, I mean, do we think it's elegant?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, probably going to happen.
Well, listen, lady, it was great talking to you. I was going to bring up the whole from Reno, the IVN shirt picture, and guess who was in the shirt? but you gave it away on Facebook, and you admitted that it was you.
I know. I had to.
And apparently it was cold when, at the casino that day. We heard bullshit stories about a strap that was misplaced or some sort of bulge or whatever, but we know differently. We're experts. It was cold.
I can neither confirm nor deny these accusations.
Well, you're a good sport. Hey, can we count on you to come on and talk to us again in the future?
Whenever. Give me a call. I had a good time. You guys are cracking me up.
That sounds great. We'll be in touch. Thanks a lot for calling, Casey. We appreciate it.
For sure.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Well, let's see. We're going to that dropped out. So let's wrap it up, fellas.
Right.
What do you think, the director? How was it?
Well, I'll tell you. It was a lot worse than I thought it was going to be.
Hey, you know. What do you got to say, Hammer?
We've only scratched the surface.
There it is. So guys, we ran about 40 minutes over, but hey, we're all friends. We're just having a good time. Tune back in. Looks like it's going to be probably 3 weeks till we get some more guests. I think next time we're going to try and get Havy on. I know Chucky King was talking about coming.
Chuck King.
If you have something that you want promoted, you have something that you you want to talk about, you give us a call or hit us up on Facebook, Shuffling with McNutty and the Hammer. We're gonna try and get this going. Yeah. This is your show as much as it is our show. And we thank you guys for listening. There will be a link that you can listen, or you can share the link for a replay of the show. And I guess with that, we're gonna say goodnight. So I'm gonna say goodnight, Hammer.
Goodnight, everybody. Look forward to seeing you soon.
See y'all.
We'll see you guys soon. Live from the Ivy Inn, Shuffling with McNutty, the Hammer, and the Director.
Right.
Every day I'm shuffling.
Step up fast and be the first girl to make me throw this cash. We get money, don't be mad, now stop. Hating is bad. One more shot for us, another round. Please fill up, hook up, don't mess around. We just want to see you take it down. Now you home with me. You're naked now. First girl to make me throw this cash. We get money, don't be mad, now stop.
Every day I'm shuffling.